Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation Liz. For the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. Yeah. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. We're so happy to be with you today. I'm Leanne Dolan. Today, I'm in Bend, Oregon. I'm a writer, a producer, and I'm finishing my novel here. So you're going to hear all about that later. But our question of the week comes to us from Julie Dolan. She wants to know everyone's favorite fall soup. Liz, what do you got?
Oh, it is soup season. I'm going to have to go with butternut squash, sisters. I love butternut squash soup. And it's the kind of thing that I don't make at home. So I always order it. If I go out and it's on the menu, boom. Yes. Butternut squash, please.
Okay. See, isn't this revealing? This is Julie Dolan. I'm in Dallas, Texas, and my favorite fall soup is the Barefoot Contessa Italian wedding soup. I think it's perfect because you can serve it to someone who's 2 years old or 102, and they're going to love it.
Okay.
How about you, Leon?
Oh, absolutely the Julia Child French onion soup. I mean, I just love that soup. But it's too hot to eat in the summer here. You can't have it. So when it's fall and you can cook down those onions and it's just perfect with a little cheddar toast or, you know, a cheese toast on top. Ah, it just says fall to me. Okay. I love that soup.
So hard. That's an ambitious soup. I'm impressed.
Well, so is that Italian wedding soup, Liz. That's multi-step.
Okay.
That's okay, Liz. Just keep buying that butternut squash soup. It is delicious.
You can get butternut squash soup takeout at most decent grocery stores. So there you have it.
All right. Okay. Well, we have a lot more on the show besides soup, although I'm sure we could fill an hour talking about soup. That's how much
we could. There's some lingering topics there, but go ahead, Liam. What else do we have on the show today?
Julie, you were invited to a wedding with a very perplexing dress code we're going to discuss.
Yes.
Okay, Liz, we have a sports pod today, some great news and just some really disturbing news about women's professional soccer, right?
Yeah, really, really. It's all in the news today. So we're going to talk about it a little.
Okay. And then I have an exciting new fashion segment. I can't wait to share with you Blake Shelton's collaboration with Lands End.
Oh,
I mean, oh, man.
Three words I never thought I'd hear together. Blake Shelton collab. Yeah. That's,
I mean, I think it's the first time we've talked about Blake Shelton on the show. So that is really exciting. Yes.
Forget Fashion Week in Paris. It's all happening at Land's End is all I'm saying. Right. But Julie, I mean, Liz, sorry. You have an incredible update from last week's podcast.
Yes.
I could not be here. Sister Sheila filled in. What's happening?
Well, I mean, there was a thrilling behind the scenes on last week's show that we could not share with you at the time. Right, Julie?
Correct.
We were just trying to get the show done. But meanwhile, a clock had started. Here's what happened. If you listen to last week's show, you'll know that filling in for Leanne was our sister Sheila, who said she was on the verge of becoming a grandmother for the first time. We talked all about it. Urban Nana Julie had a lot of good advice. Sheila had sort of a package she wanted to pitch to her daughter, Ruthie. It was relaxed. It was fun. She had two more weeks before the baby was coming. So everyone was excited. Well, no. So we had recorded that on Sunday, and then we're recording the rest of the show on Tuesday, as we are now, Tuesday morning. And while we're recording, we got a text from Sheila that Ruthie and Jeremy had gone to the hospital, that it looked like baby girl was coming early. So we are trying to finish the show so that we can get the show posted before baby girl is even born. Right, Julie? It was stressful.
It was exciting. It was more stressful for you, Liz, because you were actually posting the show. But yes, it was really, you know, we were down to the wire trying to finish it and trying to get it up so that everyone could hear about it before the baby arrived.
Okay. And then, of course, because this is inevitable, then we had a tech snafu. Mm-hmm. So normally the show is fully up and posted by noon Pacific time. Well, for some reason, me trying to post it up to our platform, it was just rejecting, rejecting, rejecting. So I had to go to the chat bot who pretends to be a real person, but I don't believe that for one second. And then they escalated it. I'm like, well, you know what's escalating? Baby girl being born is escalating. I think we have to escalate getting this show posted. So anyway, finally we got it sorted out. You may have noticed the show was a couple of hours late. Meanwhile, Sheila's now communicating with us that people have settled into the hospital. What's going on? And so here is the good news. Baby girl was born on the 29th. So on Thursday, Sheila says everyone is healthy and happy. Her name, adorable name, is Evelyn Maisie. Don't you think that's sweet, you guys?
I love it. And it's a very special name because it is the second Evelyn in our family.
Yes.
Of course, I have a granddaughter named Evelyn as well. She's Evelyn Louise. But our family is big enough to have two Evelyns in it, don't you think?
Yes. Yes. So it's very, very exciting. They are home now from the hospital, Ruthie, Jeremy, and Evelyn Maisie. And Sheila reports that she has replaced Instagram scrolling with Evelyn scrolling. But now she has nothing but new pictures of Evelyn in her feed, and she's just loving it. So
she said she was over the moon. And I think any new grandmother understands that feeling.
There is. We have not received the official photo to post yet. As soon as we have one, we promise we will do that. But we just wanted to let you know what you didn't know behind the scenes, because it was super exciting, very thrilling for all of us to have a new baby girl in the family.
Yeah, that was great. That's great. Good reporting, Liz. I mean, you guys did a great show last week, and then the drama was doubled. Who knew? You really held it under pressure. I can tell. You did it.
Well, you know, Lee, and you had the day off, but you did check in with me at noon to say, how's the show going?
I did. I was.
Things were escalating all over the place.
Things were escalating here. And I didn't want to bother you because I know you're trying to finish a novel. So I was trying to leave you alone. But when you asked, I'm like, ooh, how did she know this isn't working?
Well, that's right. I am up here in Bend, Oregon. I've been here for two weeks with my husband and our dog. That's how we travel now. That's how we roll with our old dog. And I am trying to get my next novel in. Now, technically, my due date was October 1, which was on a Saturday. So I asked for like a couple days extension, like I was a college sophomore with mononucleosis. And I was granted like a 1 week extension because my editor is currently working on another project. That's how it works. Like your editor is working one book at a time and she's finishing up one book. So she said, yeah, take an extra week. So of course I am taking it. You only want to make it better, but you know, it's a lot of work actually wrangling an 80,000 word document into shape because it's just a lot of words, you know.
I mean, do you monitor the word count like you're like in fifth grade trying to write a 1,000 word essay, you know?
Yes, I'm up
to 65,000 words. Okay, good.
Yes, no, exactly that. I actually, when I got here in Bend 2 weeks ago, I thought, oh, I really only have about 10,000 more words to write. And then I realized it's really 20,000 more words. I'm a little behind, you know, I'm a little behind where I wanted to be. But I always say fiction writing is based a lot on momentum. You know, mm-hmm. One good writing day begets another. And I will say July, my momentum was low. And I am paying for it now. But since August 1, I've been like working my tushy off. So I should be able to hand it in. We drive home on Friday. I should be able to hand it in by then. But it's just if you decide to change something at the end of the book, like, oh, I think this character needs a bigger role, that means you have to go back to the beginning of the book and kind of set up that character. Mm-hmm. Or the same thing can happen, like you mention a bunch of people in the beginning, but the story takes you in a slightly different direction and you don't service those characters. So then you have to go back in and cut them. Or you try to remember, like, what kind of car did I say she was driving 240 pages ago? And then you have to find, you know. It's super easy to forget details like that, or just like attitudes, like, oh, as you get to know your characters a little bit better, you need to make the beginning of the book match the end of the book. So every kind of new page you write at the end of the book, say the last 50 pages, sort of has a corollary in the beginning of the book where you have to set that up. Mm-hmm. So that's why it just takes a really long time to do that. And it's very intense work because you're cutting and pasting, you're moving things around to be very focused. It's because, you know, this stuff is starting to stick now. Like you're actually creating the novel and the momentum. And so if you put it in the wrong place, it may be stuck there forever. It's hard to describe, but like.
Sounds like you could use an assistant or two. Maybe you'd like to employ your two sisters to help.
Yeah, no, again, no. No, you don't, no. It's,
one thing I could never do is make stuff up. I like the idea of writing 80,000 words of stuff that I made up in my own head. That just feels impossible to me. If you ask me to write 80,000 words of nonfiction where I could go look it up and then write it down, I might be able to do that. But fiction, no way, sister.
Yeah, I think the big difference is that fiction really is a solo effort, right? It's not a collaborative thing. You know, you're not working in a team all towards the same goal. Eventually, yes, when I hand this over to my editor, then it will be a team effort. And then we'll work with the marketing people and you work with the copy editors and you work with the cover designer. But for the first, you know, 8 months, you're really, you know, out here just solo working on stuff. Mm-hmm. So having assistants and stuff, unless they're really writing for you, it's not that helpful. Yeah. You know, you just really need, you really need to do the work yourself. So that's where I'm at now. I'm so close. I can taste the ending, you know, almost everything is written. I'm fixing all the things in the front of the book and making all those and then all changes. And then I'll write actually the last chapter, I think, when I do that, and then I will send it in. And then the whole rewrite process starts. But that's what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks. So I've done almost nothing in Bend but work. I will say that.
That's too
right.
bad.
But, well, but it's what you love to do. So yeah. That's good, right?
Yeah. You know. Yes. So it's a lovely, but if you live here, no, you haven't seen me. I haven't been anywhere. I haven't called you. I'm sorry. I haven't. I haven't done it. I walk the dog in the morning and I go to a yoga class in the afternoon. But other than that, I'm just sitting at my computer. But you're right. It's what I like to do. It's a pleasure to be able to do it.
Well, we have no doubt that you'll get it done. It's all going to be good, Leanne. It will be in the rearview mirror shortly. That's
yes,
what I think.
Yes.
Well, while you were working so hard, Leanne, I got to go to a wedding this weekend. So happy to do this. This was a wedding for two people that have found each other late in life. And they wanted, but the dress code for the wedding was denim and diamonds, okay? Because they really wanted people to wear whatever, okay? That's what they said when we inquired what exactly did they mean by that. Okay, this was a wedding that was at a hotel in Plano, Texas. But here's what I know, sisters. Denim and diamond as a dress code, that's a trap, okay? It's a trap, okay? Because I've been to a denim and diamond event. And I wore jeans and a boot and boots because it was a denim and diamond. Mm-hmm. And I was woefully underdressed. Yeah. Okay. See what I mean? It's a trap. Don't go for that. All right.
You were probably under diamond by Texas standards.
Possibly, Liz. Possibly. Okay. So I wasn't falling for that. So here is my pro tip that I am going to share with all of you. If you get invited to a denim and diamond wedding in particular, okay, it's easy for your spouse, partner, your plus one. They can wear jeans and the boots. Okay. But for you, for girls, okay, dress like you're going to the Country Music Awards, okay? It's the CMAs, okay? That's the look that you want to bring. Think Carrie, think Reba, who pick your favorite country music star. That's what you want to dress like for the wedding, and you're going to be fine.
Wait, is that what you did this weekend? I'm having trouble
picturing
that.
Yes.
Okay.
CMAs, yes, Liz. I kicked it up a notch, yes. And I was perfect, okay? All right? Okay. My husband wore jeans and boots. Okay. He had a blazer on. He looked cool. Okay. That's what they wear at the CMAs. Think about it. Okay. People were in long dresses. They were in short dresses, but they were dressed up. They could have received an award. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Julie, just wait until you hear about the Blake Shelton collab with Lance.
Okay.
I think you missed an opportunity. I picked something out for you. And I think you missed an opportunity. That's all
okay.
Liz, you know, I am now just a devotee to my prose regimen, right? My hair care regimen.
I know that, Leanne, I'm looking at your hair right now on Zoom. Even on Zoom, your hair looks fantastic.
I'm in training for this book tour, Liz.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be, you know, seeing people and photos will be taken. And I want to look great. At least have my hair look great. And I feel like with prose, I am well on my way. And it's because it's personalized for me, Liz. Yes. Okay. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. So you take the in-depth consultation, you get the made-to-order stuff, and then you follow, you know, the instructions, Liz, and things get better. I take my vitamins. They're for me. They say Leanne on it. I do, you know, the shampoo. I do the conditioner. I do the leave-in conditioner. Mm. Sometimes I do the pre-shampoo scalp treatment. That all the time, but that is it's in my toolbox, my pros toolbox.
Whatever it is, it's all paying off for you, Leanne. You've just got a good hair game. Thanks to
Thank you. Of the millions and millions of possible formulas, Liz, only one is uniquely mine. And that is why I love my pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros, for great hair. Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season, and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky and it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know? Glowing.
I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box. Liz, get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com, and Osea is O-S-E-A, OseaMalibu.com, and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Hey, we're the Satellite Sisters, Lee and Liz and Julie here. We're back. All right, Liz, what's happening in your world?
Okay. Is it just me? Good toss, by the way, Lee.
Thank you.
I don't think she's ever used that before.
Okay. All right.
Over to you, Liz.
I've been doing this 22 years. That was the worst toss of my career. Okay.
Okay. Here's the thing I've been noticing. As I have mentioned a lot in the last month, I turned 65 last month. And I've noticed that since I turned 65, my Facebook feed is unbelievably full of invitations to participate in clinical trials of various drugs. It's like I hit some kind of deadline there, like all of a sudden now I qualify to be in these trials, and I'm just inundated with them. Julie, did you ever notice this?
No, I didn't. Okay. I mean, I've got a couple, but not. I wouldn't use the word inundated. Maybe you're being targeted for some reason, Liz.
Maybe I am. Maybe I post about health a lot, whatever. And I always think when I see them now, I think about our sister Monica, who is a nurse and has been in clinical research for much of her career. And she's always encouraging women to sign up for these clinical trials because they don't have enough women who sign up for them. So maybe these companies are like trying to remedy the problem of not having enough women in clinical trials. Anyway, like there was one of them, I got one earlier this week. It's a new flu shot thing. So you can sign up to be in this clinical trial where half the group gets a regular flu shot and the other half gets a test mRNA flu shot, a newfangled flu shot. So I haven't decided about that one yet because I, you know, I always hear mom in my head, like,
yes,
you must get
it. Did you get your flu shot? Every phone call in the fall would start that way. Correct? Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then there were a couple of others that I got, but then here's one that I got that I thought, huh, okay, this is something I would be interested in, but I have a question for you guys. This is an Alzheimer's drug. So I think this study is being done by Lilly, and the study is called Trailblazer ALZ3. And it said, we are looking for men and women ages 65 to 80 who have normal memory, thinking, mood, and behavior patterns. So question number one, do I?
Well, I would put you more in the exceptional category, Liz, than the normal category.
Okay. All right. But, and who may be at risk for developing Alzheimer's in the future, which I say, we're all in the, our father died of Alzheimer's. So we're all in that category. So I thought, okay, well, I'll take this test and see if I qualify. And I really thought I was acing the test. And
was it a memory test, Liz?
No, it was not. No, this is just to see if you qualified to be in the study.
Okay.
So it was just super simple things like, how old are you? Do you have any other neurological diseases? Things like that. They want to get people out of the study who would have, I think they call them confounding variables, Julie. Anyway, so I was acing the test until I got to the trick question. One of the tests was, would you be willing to have an MRI or a PET scan? Yeah, sure. I've had like 16 in the last year. Sure, whatever. I feel like MRIs are now like a part-time job that I
was it. What is your favorite fall soup, perhaps? Was that the question?
No, the trick question was, it says, this study requires a study partner. Do you have someone who is familiar with your day-to-day who would notice any changes? And the choice of answers are yes, no, and unsure. So when you live alone, I don't know. I think the answer is no. But then again, I thought, well, do you guys see enough of me to be my study partner? Like, A, would you actually be observing changes in me? And B, if you are, do I want to hear about it from you?
Right. So I would go back to question A. Do you want us observing your changes? And I think the answer to that is probably no. But
no. But
you don't want us. I mean, would you really want us to be observing you in that kind of way?
I don't know, but I would assume that you probably are anyway, not on purpose.
Like, judging? Just general judging?
Yes. Casually, constantly judging. That's, you know, I mean, we're laughing. This is obviously very serious, but, you know, I do remember how long it took Mom to really notice Dad's Alzheimer's effects, you know, and there she was living with him day to day. The idea of needing a study partner for something like this, I can totally understand why that would be the case. Anyway, so I haven't signed up for that. I finished the quiz. I sent it in. I said, I'm in the unsure category for study partner. I do not think Hooper qualifies for that. He's the only one who sees me every day. But anyway, I am interested in supporting clinical trials for things that will be treating women. So I'm trying to say yes to some of these. So anyway, that is my point. Medical studies, we want to make sure that they're studying more women as they develop these drugs, which will be super important to us in the future.
Good for you.
I would be your study buddy. I mean, I feel like the thing is we don't really see each other that much.
Right.
Yeah. People don't understand that. Like we communicate every day. And even
we wouldn't know what's going on in your apartment.
Right.
Like, you know, like all your clothes were on the floor or something like that.
Right.
We wouldn't know that. Yeah.
Or all your bills were stuffed in a drawer, things like that.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things Mom noticed is that Dad had not paid the bills in months.
Yes.
That came as a shock to her. I think they say that's a very common thing with Alzheimer's patients.
Right. They just can't handle it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Whereas I'm just so poor at paying my bills.
It's going to be hard. You are exceptional. We'd be happy to judge you, Liz. That's, I think, keep that in mind.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, I mean, I can see you're struggling because you want to do this honestly. Sisters, did you see this week? I mean, it's unbelievable. There were cheating scandals in three different sports, in chess, in poker, and in professional fishing. Okay. All right.
I haven't seen any news.
Oh, okay. Wait till you hear this. Okay. First of all,
the fishing one is hilarious.
Okay. We're going to get to that last, but the first two, I'm just going to say they involve vibrations. Okay. That's it. Okay. Allegedly the chess organization is going to invest a cheating allegation that was made by the world champion, Magnus Carlsen. Okay. He has accused the other grandmaster that he was playing, Hans Niemann, of cheating. Okay. I cannot go into the specifics of the allegation. You are just going to have to look it up. But the specifics, there's a lot of things swirling around regarding of vibration. And this is something that was internal vibrations.
Okay, Joel.
But okay. Yep. Anyway, but that, you know, they're having a problem with online chess because there's a lot of cheating involved in that because they have no way to monitor or regulate what's going on. But this was a match that was in person, but yet they still have situations where coaches that are watching the match, they're moving to certain positions in the room, and that is signaling the players about what move to make. I mean, cheating. That's just cheating.
Oh, wow. That's straight up cheating. Yeah.
Okay. Second one involved a high stakes poker game. This is a poker player, Robbie Jade Liu. Okay. She is now blaming sexism and bullying because what happened in this case, she is accused of wearing a vibrating ring. Okay. She had a ring on during a match in which she made a very bold bet, you know, low percentage bet. She had a handful of jacks and she pushed all of her chips in, you know, was a really dramatic bet. And the person who she lost to, they accused her of cheating, that somebody was watching everybody else's poker hands and sent her a vibrating signal on the vibrating ring. Okay.
Ooh.
This is just amazing. Like, so
that sounds like Ocean's 14 or something.
It does sound like Ocean's 14. And after they gave her the prize money, then Garrett Adelstein sort of chased her down a dark hall and forced her to give the money back, accusing her of cheating. But now she's saying, no, I wasn't cheating. And this is all bullying and sexism. They just didn't believe that a girl could win the poker match or that someone would make this bold bet. Okay. So that is a to be continued.
Can I just say on that one, it could be one of those devices, you know, how they all like buzz you every hour now to remind you to get up and walk around. Could have been as simple as that.
Well, it might have been, Liz, but maybe not. Again, they're poker players, right?
All right.
Okay, but the third one, and this law enforcement is involved in this. There's serious controversy in pro fishing tournament. Okay, this is multiple time winners. Okay, there are these two guys that fish a lot together. And what they were doing, they were caught stuffing lead weights and other fish fillets down the throats of the fish that they caught, Liam. Okay. All right. So these fish were supposed to come in, they're walleyes. They were supposed to come in about 25 pounds, but their fish were 33 pounds. Oof. Okay. And they're winning a lot of money. These are hundreds of thousands of dollars they're making as pro fishing people. Okay. There's a whole tournament circuit. They're out there, but the judges just felt like the fish were like really heavy and they were squeezing the fish. Okay. And that's when they noticed it was a little, you know, a little hard. It didn't feel like a fish. And so they took this unprecedented move to cut the fish open. And lo and behold, they found all these weights and other, like, I don't know, they put jammed like salmon and, you know, tilapia down the other fish's mouth.
Okay, that's hilarious.
Okay,
cheating is bad, but
these schemes that they're coming up with are really amazing. And,
I guess I never knew there was that much money at stake, but of course, if there's a lot of money on the line, people are going to think up stuff.
You're going to juice the walleye. Yeah, you're going to juice that walleye. Sure.
But fish, stuffing one kind of fish inside another kind of fish, that just seems wrong on a whole different level, like on a moral level.
No, it's diabolical. Well, you read where he stuffed that thing in the chess match. You're going to find that not very good either, Liz. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm done with that. Okay. And no more cheating.
Okay. So we've been laughing about that, but now we have something kind of serious to talk about. We have two sports stories. One is very, very bad, and the other one is very, very delightful. So let's start with the very bad one. You may have seen the headlines today that have some really shocking details about an investigation just published into abuse in women's soccer. And the investigation itself was conducted by Sally Yates. Remember her? Sally Yates,
Yeah.
You know, assistant attorney general. Anyway, so she was hired to do this study. And in the study, she found sexual misconduct, verbal abuse and emotional abuse by coaches in the National Women's Soccer League. That's the pro league. So there are so many things in here that are so bad, but what is really just predictably bad is that the study found that the leaders of the NWSL and the US Soccer Federation, as well as the owners and the executives at the teams, like, they failed to act on this, even though players had been complaining for years.
Yeah.
And then does this sound familiar? And that abusive coaches were able to move freely from team to team. So they'd get fired by one team and they would just show up at another team, and nobody at the original team would tell the new team why they were fired. So it's just awful to think about, isn't it?
Right. The same old terrible pattern where people are able to abuse young children.
Yes. Yeah.
And young athletes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are grown ass women.
Right.
But it is interesting, Julie, what they say is that the NWSL abuse, Sally Yates said, it's rooted in a deeper culture in women's soccer, beginning in youth leagues, that normalizes verbally abusive coaches and blurs boundaries between coaches and players.
Right. So it starts young, right?
It starts young.
Yeah.
Yes. And that women players are trained young to sort of accept abusive coaching. And so I'd say, just from like working around in sports a lot, not so much youth sports, but with adult athletes, both male and female, that this is super alarming and not specific to soccer, wouldn't you say? I mean,
We've already seen it in gymnastics,
yes,
right? I'm sure maybe we might see it in women's basketball. You know, I mean, the things that these coaches and the leadership, you know, people in leadership positions are doing, they were terrible. Like, it was like, come to my house for a meeting. Oh, here's porn. And I'm going to, you know, pleasure myself when force you to watch.
Yes.
I mean, they were terrible.
Yeah.
Very specific accusations. That's why it's so shocking to me, in light of the gymnastics scandal of a couple of years ago and other Me Too scandals, like, why they continue, the leadership people continue to deny that these things are happening.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What are they hoping to gain? And some of these were women, you know, one was the US women's national team coach. She was a woman. She knew what was happening.
Yeah.
So it's not even just the men in the leadership positions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just found it so disturbing and extraordinary. And it was just also super duper creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not 1980, right? As you know, I mean, this is not like, oh, we didn't know, or, you know, everyone is sensitized to these issues now. Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Julie, it was the players protesting publicly a few years ago that even got this investigation started. Wouldn't you think that in any league or any sport, they would be paying attention to these kinds of issues?
But you're not there isn't training for the coaches that you go on about what's appropriate and not appropriate behavior at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for the coaches and the players.
Yeah,
because the players need to be emboldened to speak out at an even younger age, right? And I've been seeing a lot of this on Twitter in the last 24 hours with a lot of the women in sports that I follow. And women are commenting that women are taught to feel like if they speak up, they will be endangering the league and the sport itself, because women's sports is so, quote, fragile. So you're sort of self-silencing because you don't want to do anything that's bad for the league. And obviously that's terrible for the sport overall. And that just cannot be the way we continue forward.
Yeah, the report stated that there was just shocking lack of training in these areas, and there had never been, which is unbelievable. But also, what a shame too, because there were a couple of really successful franchises in the Women's Soccer League here in the United States, and the Portland franchise is one of them. And they were, heavily, there was a lot of abuse happening from the coach there, and then from the leadership team, just shuffling that coach off to another team and not speaking up. So it's a shame, because there's a lot of fans of women's soccer,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of great franchises there. But
the league is doing incredibly well.
Yeah.
As you say, the Portland Thorns is like their number one. I know several friends who are season ticket holders at the Thorns. The team here in LA, Angel City FC, they've sold three times as many season tickets as they expected. They've gotten three times the amount of sponsorship as they expected. So the sport is not as fragile as they're telling the athletes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just, you get so tired of seeing these kinds of reports over and over again, because you're right, Julie, it's not the 80s anymore. Mm-hmm. We know people need to be paying attention.
Yeah.
Okay. So on a much brighter side, shout out, I think the Satellite Sister of the Week Award and Wiley Veteran of the Week Award, I'm going to call it, goes to my hero, Joan Benoit Samuelson. So we all know that Joni won the first ever Olympic gold medal in the Olympics in LA in 1984 in the women's marathon. And remember, first ever time the women's marathon was even allowed in the Olympics. So remember that. And she's my age. She is 65. Anyway, this past weekend, Joni ran the London Marathon in 3 hours and 20 minutes, sisters. Okay.
That's pretty great. So, that's excellent.
Yeah. So she won her age group. You won't be surprised.
Good.
And what I love is she ran it with her daughter, Abby. Abby ran 2:58. So Abby is no slouch. And what Joni said at the end, she said, she may have beaten me with my replacement knee, but everyone said I wouldn't do it. I will never say never. And she said, I'm a grandmother now to Charlotte, and it's my goal to run a 5K with her. So come on, as if she wasn't a big enough hero already. There she is, Wiley Veteran of the Week, out there doing it. And, you know, she was at the World Championships this summer. So I had a chance one night to have dinner with her because we worked together way back in the day. And not only was she telling me about her plan to finally run all of the world marathons, all of the big ones, but she's still working with like young athletes, college athletes, and athletes fresh out of college, just to make sure they get coached correctly and led correctly. I mean, it sort of relates to what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. When you have quality people like Joan Benoit Samuelson in the sport, really looking after the younger athletes, making sure they're brought up and trained in the right way, you just think, thank goodness for people like that. So anyway, we've always loved you, Joni, and now we love you even more. That's all I want to say about that.
All right, stay with us. We're the Satellite Sisters. Blake Shelton, collab with Land's End, up next.
Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there? A lot of things going my way, Leanne, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy.
Yeah.
They want you to have
peace. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep, free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox. We're back. We're the Satellite Sisters. All right, sisters, I can't tell you how excited I am to bring to you the new collaboration, Land's End, Blake Shelton. All right, Jewel, you're a huge Blake Shelton fan. I know that, right?
Sure. Why not? I mean, he's the best judge on the Voice. You know, he keeps winning year after, season after season.
Well, here you go. So I arrive in this story starts before the actual collab. I arrived in Bend, Oregon. It's an 800 mile, 12 hour drive. We get here and immediately, do you ever go on a trip and you think I packed all the wrong things? Have you ever had? Yes.
Sure.
I got to Oregon and the weather was, you know, it was in the 40s and I'm like, I have packed all the wrong things. But we arrive and I see a package on the front porch. And I remember, I ordered two new bathing suits and I had them sent here to Oregon. And then I remembered, holy cow, I also ordered a new down vest. Thank you, Lee and Dolan.
So, you're more clever than you thought, Lee.
Saved by the Land's End package. And I open it up and there's this special catalog, Julie.
Okay.
Hansen, our new collaboration with Blake Shelton.
Okay.
Now, when you think of Blake Shelton, what do you think of? You think of flannel shirts and blue jeans,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right. That's what he's been wearing for like the 25 seasons on the Voice. Yes.
Julie, that's incredible that you say that, because here is what fashion icon Blake Shelton says on the first page of the Lands End catalog. I wear pretty much the same thing every day. So there you go.
Okay.
That's it.
That's easy. I like
fashion
it.
Fashion icon. That's a
fashion philosophy. It's a good one. It's solid. Yep.
So I'm scrolling through this. You get Western shirts. You know you're going to get some flagship flannel from Blake Shelton and the Land's End catalog. And I'm thinking, would my husband look good in this? No, he would not. But maybe Julie's husband would.
You think my husband could use a little Blake? Okay.
I think he could use a little Blake. You know, he's a handsome man, but just put him in some of these, you know, how about a little corduroy for your husband? Has he ever considered that, Jewel?
Oh, he looks really good in corduroy. Okay. Okay, Leanne. I'm in.
And Blake just keeps delivering the high fashion quotes with things like, these are clothes you're going to want a few of. All right. We're going to want a few of these.
Wow. Giving Anna Wintour a run for her money.
Really? Blake wants to know, are you working hard or hardly working, Jewel? Because there's a classic chambray shirt here that I think Trem would look great in.
Okay.
Blake's got his guitar and I'm moving through the catalog and I'm enjoying it, thinking, all right, I feel like that date night sweater may look good on my husband or maybe Julie's husband. Our comfort seems to be Blake's number one fashion
goal.
Focus. My husband too. He just wants to be comfortable, Liam. Yeah. Yes.
So I feel like I'm getting to the end of the Blake Shelton collab because we're at the boxer short section now and the flannel PJs. And guess what? Oh, it's not just your husband that's going to be in Blake Shelton. There's a Blake Shelton home line, Julie. Home line.
I have to live in Blake's house now too.
Oh, just, God, that's no, just, a grand extension whoa. Too far.
I don't know if I want to go there. Yeah.
What's in the home line?
Liz, it's flannel, Liz. It's a flannel duvet cover. Come on. Oh. It's Blake Shelton. You don't have to go far. It's just more flannel and plaids and flannel. And so I'm thinking, wow, Blake Shelton home. And then I turn the page. And, Julie, maybe you want your dog to dress like Blake Shelton because there's a Blake Shelton dog line, Jewel.
Well, Oliver might look cute in a little flannel. Yes.
Yeah. A flannel bandana. Oh, yeah. You got it. Flannel bandana. There, a bed cover. You got it. Blake Shelton's got one for your dog. And you can even get him a little jacket. So he looks like Blake Shelton, your dog. Okay.
Who doesn't want their dog to look like Blake Shelton? Nobody.
Liz, I would also say, who doesn't want their kids to wear a picture of Blake Shelton's dog on their t-shirt? Because the very next page, it's the Blake Shelton kids line.
They were really scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to come up with products, weren't they?
Oh, Jewel, it's not over, Jewel. Because then we get to Blake Shelton women. All right. Oh.
Well, we know his woman. Okay. She's on The Voice too, right?
Yeah, but believe me, I don't think she's wearing this plaid flannel dress. Okay. So imagine this. Imagine a Blake Shelton plaid flannel shirt, but just longer, because that's what the dress is. Yeah. It's just a longer shirt. Oh, and then finally, you get all your Blake Shelton accessories. You go through, you want a cooler tote that's going to make you look like Blake Shelton? Don't worry, he's got one. A trucker hat, he's got one.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, it's unbelievable. And then again, I just want to hear from fashion icon Blake Shelton. It says, Blake Shelton, country music legend turned fashion designer. He says, I think what I cooked up with Lands End is going to fit pretty awesome into your world. Jewel, what do you think?
Okay, I think it's pretty awesome too. I think it is. Yeah, yeah. So,
there you go.
Blake, oh my God. Okay. I'm just imagining him home cooking things up. Just like, what else can I put flannel on? Who else looks good in plaid?
Yeah. I want it on my bed, on my dog, on my grandkids. I want it on my woman. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to check this out, Liam. Okay. I mean, and you're right. There may be some way that you could work it into the next Denim and Diamonds event that you're invited to.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. I think if you added like an underskirt to that, that Blake Shelton women's plaid flannel dress, that would look good.
That's CMA Awards. You know, you see what I'm getting at. Okay. All right. Well, it's time for Entertaining Sisters. And here's my first recommendation. It's an unusual one for Entertaining Sisters, but I know you're going to enjoy this because it is Fat Bear Week, October 5th through the 11th. Okay. And this is without a doubt a perfect break for from life. Now, I know we've talked about it, Liz, right? Before on Satellite Sisters.
Last year, we got very excited about
Fat Bear Week. Well, this year, you know, now starting on October 5th, if you go to their website and it will be in the show notes, thanks to Liz Dolan, you can download your brackets for Fat Bear Week you're going to have an opportunity to vote on your favorite fat bear. And it's a single elimination tournament. Okay. Fans vote online. So you want to get involved. These are adorable bears. They're all between 700 to 900 pounds. Okay. And there's no actual weighing. Okay. That's important that you know that. Okay. So I don't think we're going to have the same cheating that we have in other sports. Okay. They just kind of guess the bear's weight. Okay. Yeah. They don't actually. Okay. Because that would be
they're eyeballing those bears.
Yeah, they're eyeballing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And but I would have to I have to tell you that the head of communications for Fat Bear Week, okay, hold on to your seats right now. Her name is Lian Law. L-I-A-N. Lian Law is her name.
Wow.
I double checked it. Okay. Washington Post reported she is quoted twice as Lian, L-I-A-N, Law. She said there's going to be a Facebook group that you should eat salmon during Fat Bear Week, that you could make bear-shaped cookies. And Lian Dolan, listen to this. She has made a bear-inspired Spotify list. Okay.
Oh. That's nice.
Lian, well, she sounds like my kind of Lian.
Yes, she is. She is your kind of Lian. She's the only Lian you know, right? I mean, you've got to contact this woman.
Yeah, I don't know too many Lians. I know it is a very common Asian first name. So I have met a couple of Lians. They pronounce it like Lian. It's slightly different, but it is spelled exactly the same. But we're all Lians in my eyes. So we have to stick together. And you know how much I love bears. So
I know you love bears. The fact that they have the Spotify list, I mean, bear shaped cookies, this just seemed like you two are on the same channel. So I want you to reach out to her. What do you have to lose, right?
I have nothing to lose. Jill.
Okay.
Nothing
there to you lose. Have.
Okay. Well, Fat Bear Week is about to start. I also have an Entertaining Sisters that's anticipatory. And here it is, people. Guess what? Tick tock, tick tock. It's almost Tucci time. Oh yeah, it's almost Tucci time again. Stanley Tucci's show Searching for Italy starts again this Sunday on CNN at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So this is season 3. Can you believe it? So he's got new episodes starting this Sunday. He goes to Puglia, Sardinia. I'm really looking forward to it because I've never been to Sardinia, and I think that's a target for me. I realized I've never been on vacation in Italy. What is the matter with me?
I don't know, Liz. You got to do that.
I mean, seriously.
Why haven't you been to Italy, Liz?
I've been to Italy many times for work, Julie, but I've never stuck around and just enjoyed Italia. I mean, I enjoy it when I'm there, but anyway, so I'm going to meet up with Stanley in Sardinia if all goes according to plan. So anyway, so the new episodes are Puglia, Sardinia, Liguria, and Calabria, which is where his family was originally from, according to their show notes. So anyway, here we go. It's Tucci time. Searching for Italy starts again October 9th. I'm sure there will be much to discuss in upcoming Satellite Sisters.
I mean, you can just look forward to more Italian from Liz Dolan, too, which is it's part of the season. I would just say I have a pro tip. I'm not going to really call this a recommendation or anything for my selection, but I did want to mention, because I have just completed reading Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. And I think this is one of the most popular book club selections for the fall season.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, here's my pro tip. I think the best part about this book is the octopus, and it is possible to read only the chapters with the octopus in it. That's all I'm saying. And that is pretty pleasurable. Okay.
So I don't know anything about this book. I haven't read anything about
okay. it. Okay. Okay. There's an octopus in it. You're going to love the octopus. Okay. Just stick to the octopus, Liz. That's my pro tip. Okay. All right.
I mean, is it me or have there been a lot of movies and books lately about with an octopus as the main character?
Yes.
It's just kind of shocking. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There was that documentary that won the Oscar, was nominated for the Oscar. Yeah. Like My Favorite Octopus, something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Julie, that is not a review I've read of this book. So thank you for adding that.
You're welcome.
I guess there are no more books to be written about bears, Leon. So many bear books.
Well, talk to Leon about her, okay? Get on the horn. Talk to her.
I will. All right. Speaking of books, I am going to be out on a book tour. Thank you, everybody, coming to Dallas. We are full in the Dallas states, but this week, the registration for the Long Island event opens up. So I'll be posting about that. You do need to register. The same with the Pequot Library event. So Connecticut is the 27th of October and Long Island is the 29th of October. Both of those you need to pre-register for. They are free, but you do need to pre-register. So I will continue to spread the link around. And it's always at my website on the events page, LeonDolan/events. The Satellite Sisters website is rocking and rolling.
It does. It's very interesting over there, Leon.
Yeah, we have a lot going on now. We're doing every week we do a blog post for the podcast. So we have a podcast specific page where you can listen straight from the page to the podcast. It comes with the notes, the show notes that Liz puts in. And then I also do a separate blog post. So if you can't find the notes on the podcast page, you can find them on the blog page and lots of links to listen. So we're doing our best to get you all the information you need. There's also a work with us column. If you'd like to work with us, there's an about column, and Liz, there's a shop column, and you are our, you're the Blake Shelton of our operation.
I mean, we do have our own collections of things.
Yes, we do.
You know, and if you're within the sound of our voices right now, you're probably more in Satellite Sisters world than you are in Blake Shelton world. So, you know, I'm just guessing. But I just wanted to remind people that we do have a shop. You can find it at cafepress.com/satellite sisters. And again, don't even bother to remember that. I'll put a link in the show notes and all over the place. But if you go to our shop, we have all these different collections, some that is just logoed merch, some that is like classic things that we say, like you can't make new old friends. You can get, you know, bags and hats and tees and all kinds of things with that on it. Of course, I did recently create a brand new collection that is the Satellite Sisters Silver Summit collection. So if you are having any kind of a girls weekend with your old friends and you want to rebrand that as a Silver Summit, that's all there. We've got kids pajamas. I think we have a few dog things. If not, I'm going to make
sure. Liz is going to create some. Get some bandanas going.
Anyway, so it's a good time now that it's October. If you want things for like grab bags for your friends over the holidays, Christmas gifts, stocking stuffers, and you're in the Satellite Sisters world, we just remind you, we do have a shop and we invite you there.
I'm looking at it, Liz. It looks great. You've been doing great work. So thank you. Thank you. We're just waiting for our call from Land's End. We're waiting for our call.
The Satellite Sisters bathing suit collection, I think, is something that we attempted once. Did yes. Were yes. we not once live on stage?
In Land's End bathing suits.
Yes,
yes. Yes, we were.
I believe we did it as a joke.
Yeah.
Yes, right. It was there was no cash that changed hands.
No. With oh yeah. No. We were no. And we did it once and we never did it again. I don't even know. I think we only did it in rehearsal and then we cut the bit.
Yeah.
That's what
I think that's when we were on tour with Oprah. Am I wrong?
Yes, we were on tour with Oprah. There were huge numbers of people. Yeah.
We thought it would be hilarious. And then once we stood on that giant stage in front of that giant like sea of thousands of folding chairs, we thought maybe not so hilarious.
Not funny. Yeah. But we all had matching Land's End bathing suits and it was really going to be a statement. And then we cut the bit. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because we also learned the other critical rule of show business. When you follow Oprah on stage, no one stays to watch you. So it would have been the five of us and the three people left in the audience.
Yeah.
So,
talk about feeling naked. We definitely would have felt naked. Anyway, go to our shop, find some fun stuff for your Satellite Sisters and Misters for all the time you're going to be spending with them in the upcoming holiday season.
All right. A big thanks to everybody who helps us put on our show. Thanks to Sergio Enriquez. Thank you, Sergio. Today he had some classic advice. Leon, plug your mic in. Thank you, Sergio. 22 years. Every day, every week, we have something. Emily Loudermilk does our graphics, and we love seeing what Emily comes up with. If you want to see what Emily comes up with, go ahead and subscribe to Pep Talk, our weekly newsletter, or follow us on Instagram at Sat Sisters. A big thanks to our sponsors. They make it possible for us to do the show. That is true. And the fact that you support our sponsors is icing on the cake. Thank you so much. It makes the whole thing work. We really appreciate it. All right. Our to-dos for the week. Liz, what do you got on your list?
Well, apparently, Leanne, I have to learn everything there is to know about sports gambling.
Right.
Because
there might be some cheaters in there, Liz. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Sure, Julie. Well, what we have going on here in California is we have two dueling ballot measures coming up to vote on about legalizing sports betting in person and online. And they've already spent more than $410 million promoting these two competing ballot measures. So you literally can't turn on your television without seeing something about whether or not we should legalize sports gambling. So I don't know, am I voting for 26 or 27? Am I voting for both of them? Am I voting for neither of them? I don't know. Yeah. I don't even care enough about this yet to have an opinion, but I have to have an opinion by the time the election rolls around. So that's it. Learning everything there is to know about sports gambling. That's going to be time consuming.
Okay. Full report. I'm sure we'll get one. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. For me, I'm just going to do what mom always tells us to do, to get a flu shot. That's okay. My to-do for the week. You sisters should get your flu shots too.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Julie. Okay. We will.
And Leon, how about you?
You know what? Well, I have to finish the book. So that seems like the obvious item. But, you know, while I'm here, I like to gather Oregon tasty treats to take home to California. So things like delicious Oregon honey. There's a couple good chocolate companies here. There's this one place that makes nut butter that is just out of this world. Ooh. So I'm just gathering some Oregon foodstuffs to take home with me to California.
Okay.
So that's and wine. And why? The good Oregon wine.
Things you don't have to declare as you cross the border.
Right. I wish I could take apples, but you can't take fruit.
No. You can't do that.
But you can take apple butter in. So that's my alternative.
Yeah, I don't want you to get busted at the borderland. Good.
No, because I got to be in Dallas next week.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Hey, sisters, have a great week.
You too,
Leanne.
All right. Big love to our new grandniece, Evelyn, and her mom and dad. And don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.